He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the July 25th midsummer. Are we about midsummer? Well, we've had the midsummer classic, which is the All-Star game, so we must be. The market pulling back just a little bit here today after record highs this past week. Right now we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which was made up of 30 stocks, down 66 points, 73 call it right now, down 0.4%. I would say mostly because of oil, a little bit softer today. The S&P 500, meanwhile, is down 8 points. It's down about the same percentage. That works out to about 0.3%, 0.4%. The S&P 500 is at 2,167 here today. The NASDAQ is down 7, faring a little bit better. It's down just 0.15%. The NASDAQ is at 5,092, and we saw 5,100 last week, all-time highs on the NASDAQ. But remember, it did take 16 years to get back to those levels, those lofty levels that we saw way back in March of 2000. That's right, March of 2000. And here's a little bit of a sticky issue here today. We've got crude oil down 90 cents a barrel to 43.29. We've kind of had support. We've kind of had support at $45 per barrel, and we're breaking through that here this morning. 43.29 is where we're at on crude oil. It's down 2%. Gold is down $9.60 per ounce. I'm guessing we've got a strong dollar today. We'll check on that in a minute. Gold is down 0.7% to 13.13. And lastly, those interest rates, 1.56%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, every Monday, we like to go through the macro picture. The macro picture is the big picture. It's big things like the economy. It's big things like earnings of all of the companies in aggregate. The micro picture, on the other hand, is when we get down into individual stocks. Individual stocks depend upon, for the most part, the macro picture. You could have the best individual stock out there, but if the macro picture is not good, is not favorable, you're really swimming against the tide. You know, I've seen different statistics over the years. But probably about 75 to 80% of the movement in a stock is related to the market or the macro picture. That's why we spend an entire day, and that's why in my newsletter I devote so much time to the macro picture of the market. We need a healthy macro picture in order for the micro picture to be healthy also. Well, we had more terrorist attacks over the weekend in Europe and also here in America in Fort Myers, Florida. I don't know if that was a terrorist attack or not. I haven't heard yet the verdict there, but there were more attacks in Europe over the weekend. It's weighing on the travel companies. It's not helping. It's not doing much for the tourism business in Europe. In fact, it's weighing on it quite heavily. We have China tightening their crackdown on the major online companies. Well, those are Sina.com, Tencent, which is a stock that I own here at Gunderson Capital, Sohu, NetEase. These are like the Yahoos and the Googles of China. If the website does not serve the interest of the ruling Communist Party, they'll shut it down. They'll censor it. They do not want any original. They want to control what these websites are saying. You see how important freedom of speech is? I hope you cherish that freedom of speech that we have here in America. What's left of it, it seems like we're even under fire here in America. But in China, it's bad and it's getting worse. Meanwhile, we've got a warning out from Nintendo. Now, this stock has been flying. This is the Pokemon Go stock. It's getting clobbered today. It's down 12%. You know, I looked at it. I said, boy, the first time Pokemon came around, I made a killing in one of the main Pokemon stock back then. I looked at it this time around, and I said, you know, it's just a little bit too hot to handle here. But we'll keep our eye on it. It could be a major money maker for the Japanese company Nintendo, which is now a $29 billion company, but it has come off considerably from its recent high. And now you get a profit warning from the company themselves. Earnings continue to pour in here. Kind of a slow Monday, but things will really heat up again this week. Last week was a big, big earnings week. That's part of that macro picture that we'll be talking about today. And this will be another big week of earnings. So we'll keep our eye to ear to the ground, and we'll keep our eye on those earnings reports coming in, and I'll report them to you each and every day. Today, well, we've got a deal to start off with, Yahoo. Yahoo is being taken out by Verizon. You know, I can't see where the shareholders are going to be real happy with the performance of Yahoo over the years. Let me just pull up my Best Stocks Now app and give you the reason why. Now, Marissa Meyer, she obviously is saying, well, it's we deem this as a success, this being taken out. Well, the stock is down today, 2.3%. That's Yahoo. On the news that Verizon is buying all the major assets of Yahoo. But let's take a look here at how Yahoo has performed over the years. You know, over the last 10 years, well, it's been a market performer. Let's call it not quite a market performer. Here you are in the middle of Silicon Valley, in the tech central, with one of the big search engines, and yet the shareholders over the last 10 years have only received 4.3% per year under Marissa Meyer's leadership. You'd have been better off investing in the S&P 500, which has averaged 5.8% per year. So, you know, I don't know if you can call this a success story or not, but Yahoo is getting all the major assets being bought out by Verizon. And the stock is down, Yahoo down 2.4% today. Verizon is also down today, so I don't think either group of shareholders really like the deal all that much. It was probably like, you know how you try to trade kind of a washed-up player and you try to get what you can for him before that August 1st deadline, and sometimes neither side really happy. On the one hand, they got a washed-up player. On the other hand, they got a couple of unproven prospects and a year's supply of popcorn, and, you know, neither side really that happy. Kimberly Clark beats earnings by 5 cents. Okay, Kimberly Clark, member of the S&P 500, but the stock is down 1.7%, so that obviously something they said didn't quite live up to expectations. We have Sprint. Sprint, oh, there's a big winner today. Sprint beats earnings. Look at that, Sprint up 20% today, hitting a new 52-week high. That is quite a breakout on a stock that is now at $5.50 after this 20% move here today. Rockwell Collins, which is in the technology, mostly the aerospace business, they beat earnings by 4 cents. The stock is down 1.4%. If you want to know whether or not they disappointed or not, just take a look at the reaction of the stock. Well, it's down 1.4%, so they could not have exceeded their estimates. Danaher, DHR, they beat earnings by 3 cents. That stock is down 1%. Eagle Materials, EXP, none of these really big like Dow stocks or anything like that, but they still are part of the aggregate. Eagle Materials makes gypsum wallboard and cement products. They beat earnings, okay? They beat by 7 cents, and that stock is up 2.3%. And one last one here. We have Raymond James downgrading Whirlpool, a stock that I own. And Whirlpool is down just 33 cents. And actually, it's closing in on new all-time highs. So we'll take a look today at the macro picture. And I also want to talk about the bubble of 2000 that created the dot-com bubble. I want to talk about the bubble of 2007 that created the real estate mortgage bubble. And I want to talk about the bubble that's brewing today that could dwarf the other two when all is said and done. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Well, we've been seeing new highs, new all-time highs in the stock market. We finally saw that stock market break through that 18,000 ceiling on the Dow and that 2,100 ceiling on the S&P 500. No guarantees that they'll continue to march forward or that this is the beginning of a new major uptrend in the market, but That's the hopes here, that once you break through that ceiling, you've got some clear sailing for a while. And, of course, since the markets broke out, we've continued to tack on a little bit more to those highs. We're giving back a little bit here today, mostly on soft oil prices, but it seems like all systems remain go for now on the stock market. Well, we'll see whether or not that's true when we go through our macro picture of the stock market here in a bit. Equities, stocks represent ownership in a company, right? If you own shares of Yahoo, you are a part owner of the company. Bonds, on the other hand, represent debt. You are a lender to the company. A bondholder is not an owner in the company, but you're a lender to the company. They owe you money, and they will pay you interest on that money that you loan to them. Now, in some cases, we're seeing negative interest rates on corporate debt. Some of the short-term corporate debt here on some of the bigger companies are actually offering negative interest rates. You say, well, why would anybody loan money at negative interest rates? Well, they're betting that interest rates will continue to go even lower, and they'll make money from only capital appreciation on the bonds. It's basically a bet that interest rates are going lower. Well, we have negative interest rates around the world in several countries now. I want to just take a look here before we start digging into the stock market. I want to take a look at the current conditions of the bond market. The bond market, the global bond market, is three times the size. That's right, three times the size of the stock market. So it's worthy of a look from time to time into a market that dwarfs the size of the equities or the stock market. Now, within the global bond market, we have government debt, right? Portugal issues debt to finance their country's operations. Greece issues debt. Switzerland issues debt. The U.S. issues debt. Argentina issues debt. Japan issues debt. And there's a pretty readily available liquid market for that debt. Some countries pay more interest rate, higher interest rates than other countries because they're a higher risk. Germany right now, their 10-year yield as of last Friday is just barely negative. Okay, why would anybody buy a German Bund that is offering negative interest rates? Well, once again, they're hoping that interest rates will even go more into the negative in Germany, and they'll make money from capital appreciation only, because you're obviously not going to make money from a negative interest rate. The U.S. right now is about 1.6%. But if you take a look at today's inflation rate, you're actually getting a negative real return on U.S. debt right now. The debt market is also made up of government or corporate debt. Corporations issue bonds to finance acquisitions, to finance everyday operations, to finance expansion, all kinds of things, research and development. In addition to that, there's mortgage debt. There are people, obviously, out there. We have home loans, and the banks generally, for the most part, own that debt. But the banks also sell off that mortgage debt to individual bondholders. There's municipal debt. The city of San Jose issues bonds to put in a sewer line. The city of St. Paul issues debt to do an improvement in downtown or whatever. There are also money market debt. There's agency securities, and there's asset-backed securities. The total global debt market is well north of $100 trillion. That's a sea of red ink, isn't it? That's a lot of debt out there. Now, what has debt? What have investors in debt? How have they been doing over the last decade? They've been doing quite nicely, thank you. Why? Because debt goes in the opposite direction. The value of your bond goes in the opposite direction of interest rates. As interest rates fall, the value of your bond or your debt goes higher. And what have we seen for almost the last 20 years? Interest rates coming down and bond prices going higher. Okay? It starts to worry me, however, when asset classes start to perform outside of their normal long-term historical averages. Let's go back to the year 2000. The S&P 500 during those late, actually let's go back to the 1990s. During the about the last 5 years of the 1990s, the S&P 500 was averaging about 30% per year. We had Alan Greenspan issue his irrational exuberance warning in 1996, yet the market continued to go higher, and it outperformed. What's been the long-term average return of the S&P? More in the 10% range. And it averaged 30% per year for several years in there. You know, mathematics, we have an axiom that things have a tendency to revert back to the mean. When you get outperformance like that for several years, something's got to give eventually. And it did. We had one of the worst crashes in the history of the market with the NASDAQ going down 79%. Let's fast forward to the year 2007. What have houses averaged? What has real estate averaged over the long haul? 5-6%. That's the average return over the long haul of that asset class. Housing during the 2006-2007 time frame was averaging 20% per year. That is way outside of normal returns. And it snapped back to the mean. And we had a recession second only to the Great Depression. Well, what have been the long-term returns of bonds? Bonds have averaged about 5-6% per year over the last, over that's their historical return. But what have they been returning recently? Well, the bond market has been outperforming the stock market. Over the last 5 years, bonds have averaged 10% per year. And we've had a couple of years here recently. When we come back, I want to talk about how far outside the norm that bonds have delivered over the last 12 months. And should this be a warning? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now and the Worst Bonds Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With BeSafe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless BeSafe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, Alan Greenspan issued the irrational exuberance comments about the stock market in 1996, and in the took 4 years later, 4 to 5 years later, for the market to finally, one of the big crashes of all time, which was the NASDAQ, the dot-com implosion of the year 2000, when the NASDAQ went from 5,100 down to, I think, 1,300, something like that. Many of us were around during that time. Dot-com stocks, which were trading at $329 per share, in the end ended up around $2.97 per share. It was something. There obviously was a lot of irrational exuberance. And I'm asking the question today. I'm just going to throw out some statistics here, some numbers, some averages, some math, a little bit of simple sixth grade math, and asking the question, is there a bit of irrational exuberance today in the debt markets? Well, let's just take a look at one exchange-traded fund that I follow because it's a representative ETF of the U.S. bonds, long-term bonds. Let's 20 to 30-year. We don't really have a 20-year anymore. The 30-year is kind of the benchmark for the mortgage market and whatnot. Consider that TLT, which is an ETF that corresponds to the U.S. Treasury over 20-year index, all right, in duration. Consider that it's up 19.5% over the last 12 months, when the long-term average is closer to 5%. Over the last 12 months, TLT is up 19.5%. The long-term average is 5%. Now, let's take it another step. Oh, and let's also consider that during the last 12 months, while the bond market, the long bond, U.S. long bond, is up 19.5%, the U.S. stock market is only up 2.2%. Normally, over the long haul, stocks do a lot better than bonds. They average about 10, bonds average about 5, about double the returns, but not over the last 12 months. We have had a way outsized return of bonds over the stock market. Now let's go back to 2014 when TLT was up 27.3%. That's not supposed to happen in government bonds. And over the last 10 years, TLT has averaged 10% per year, while the stock market has also averaged 10% per year. That is not supposed to happen. Now, if you're an owner of TLT, and if you're an owner of U.S. long bonds, you're happy. You're gleeful. You're exuberant. Oh, that's an ominous word. Are you irrationally exuberant? Sometimes when we get in a vortex like this, or in a little envelope of time, and we're just enjoying the ride like we were in the NASDAQ. You know, I remember during that run in the NASDAQ, everybody thought they were a genius. That's all they had to do was buy Dell and Microsoft and Intel, and the market was roaring to new highs. We didn't need money managers or brokers. That's all we needed to do was know a few good tech stocks and hold on to them. And, you know, you get into that time frame and that period of time, the exuberance, and you think there's no end to it. Just like the easy money that was being made in housing in the year 2007 and 2008. There's no end to this. I got to get in on this. Pity the poor guy that got in at the top. Okay? Pity the poor guy that got into the NASDAQ when it was 5,100 in March of 2000. And look what happened after that. We're seeing right now those kinds of outsized returns way outside the norm. If you draw two lines, a channel, the bottom, top, that's the norms. When something trades way outside the norm like that, the debt markets have. Now, I'm just using one example. I'm going to give some more examples here. I'm using just the U.S. long bond here. Way outside the norm. Okay, now let's take a look. Let's come in a little bit shorter. Let's take a look at U.S. Treasuries, which are the 10-year. They have also performed way outside the norm. They hit new highs last week as interest rates hit new lows. Mortgage rates right now are in the low 3%. And the bond market continues to hit new highs. Now let's take a look at corporate bonds. S&P predicts that global corporate debt will reach $62 trillion by the year 2020 and $75 trillion by the year 2021. This is all-time highs. This is extraordinarily high. Corporations are taking advantage of these low interest rates to float more and more debt. And the debt of corporations is going to explode over the next few years. S&P last week warned of looming defaults and a potential monster, which I talked about last week, called Crexit. They've come up with their own little term. They see a monster out there called Crexit. They state that nearly half of corporate debt issuers, okay, now these are the people issuing the debt, are estimated to be highly leveraged, strongly suggesting that a correction in the global credit markets is unavoidable. Well, okay, they think that defaults are going to spike. We can't pay back our corporate debt. Crexit, if they're right, S&P, would bring an abrupt end to the current credit cycle as we know it. Well, we can look at municipal bonds. And we see the same bloated returns over the last 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. Now we get out to the high-risk bonds, the junk bonds. I still remember the junk bond crash that we had. That was in the 90s, early 90s. Remember Milken, Michael Milken, the junk bond king, and what became? Well, junk bonds are also hitting new all-time highs. This past week, well, you can take a look. I used an ETF, HYG, which is the high-yield corporate bond ETF. This past week, Marty Fritzen of Bank of America Merrill Lynch stated that the bubble in high yield is staggering. He used the word staggering. He says that it is nearly two standard deviations from fair value. Now, I get really nervous. I'm basically at heart a mathematician. My head is one giant spreadsheet. That's the way I see things. Well, he sees things that way too. And anytime you go way beyond outside the envelope of what's normal, you have a pattern of correcting back and correcting back harshly. Harshly, it could be a big correction. To more normal rates. You would have to get back to normal rates. You'd have to have underperformance of the bond market for the next 5 years to get this thing back into reality. Having said that, you know, bonds continue to hit new highs. Continues to be exuberance on the part of bond holders. Continues to be happy times, like there's no tomorrow. I've seen this play before, and it usually doesn't end well. The ending usually is not good. Marty Friedson went on to say that we are seeing this tremendous flow into the bond space when at a time. This is actually J.P. Morgan. Well, let's give one more piece of testimony here. This comes from J.P. Morgan. This is the direst warning of all. Oksana Aronoff, a managing director at J.P. Morgan, stated that Treasury buyers are relying on the greater fool theory. Well, that's what dot-com buyers were relying on back in the year 2000, that a greater fool would come along and buy the stock from the fool that bought it at such high multiples. We saw the same thing in the housing market in the year 2007, hoping that someone would come along someday and buy that single family home at a much higher price than the original investor plunked down. In fact, J.P. Morgan's Oksana Aronoff went on to say that the tremendous flow into the bond space at a time is still happening when a time at a time when the risks are frankly unprecedented. We've never seen risk like this in the bond market before, yet the robots are going to continue to buy bonds, and yet people are going to continue to put money into bonds. Very few people listened to the warnings in the year 2000. Very few listened in 2007. I believe that when an asset bubble speaks, investors should listen. We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email. then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, I'm going to end up taking this whole hour talking about the bond market. And, you know, tomorrow we'll get to the big picture of the market, the macro picture. I like to talk about the best asset classes now, the best sectors in the market now. I like to update my current earnings estimates for the S&P 500, which I have the numbers here. I did it in my newsletter on Saturday. And I meant to go over it today, and my target price on the S&P 500 and the current technicals of the markets. But, you know, I just feel kind of compelled here today to talk a little bit about this bond market, which I also featured and wrote about in the newsletter on Friday. I've seen some big asset bubbles in my lifetime in this business. And it usually, you know, the way to spot an asset bubble is quite easy. When something performs way outside of the norm for any extended period of time, you're seeing an asset bubble. We know what the long-term historical average of the bond market is. We know what the long-term historical average of the gold market is. Gold's averaged about 2 or 3% over the long haul, all you gold bugs. Gold has its day in the sun, and when gold has a major outperformance like it did several years ago, look at how it snapped back to the mean. Oil had a extended outperformance period of time. Commodities have had an extended outperformance. Almost every asset class at some point or another has an extended period of time where it goes way beyond its normal returns. And that's what we are now seeing, not in the stock market, not in gold, not in commodities right now. The extended outperformance is occurring in the bond market. Now, having said that, it could go on for another year or two. I doubt it. But I think, you know, anything's possible out there. We never know how irrational the exuberance can get. You never know what price the tulip bulbs can reach. But here's the good part. There will be a warning sign. There will be warning signs. And I'll be here to let you know when I see those warning signs in the bloated bond market. Now, in the last several weeks, I warned of bloated utility stocks. Now I hear a lot of people talking about bloated utility stocks. What was the warning there? The warning there were valuations and extended technicals, but mostly valuations. When an asset class like utilities or a sector like utilities trades way above their normal valuations, like the technology stocks did back in 2000, there's going to be a comeuppance at some point in time. I see that same phenomenon going on in the real estate investment trust right now. They're trading at all-time multiple highs, whether it's price to sales, price to cash flow, price to book, or price to earnings. That's a major warning sign. We can't put a valuation on the bond market. The market determines, you know, it's the supply and demand for bonds. But we can take a look at those long-term average returns and long-term average rates and see how far outside of the envelope we are from those normal returns. Right now, I would say it's as bad as I've ever seen it. And we had three major analysts last week warn, from S&P, from Bank of America Merrill Lynch, and from J.P. Morgan. Three pretty credible witnesses, you'd have to say, that they see that same irrational exuberance. Now, what will be the warning sign as the bond market continues to climb to new giddy heights, and as the exuberance continues to build amongst the bondholders? The first sign will be the technicals. The technicals will start to break down. That's why I find it so important every day to spend several hours looking at many, many charts, as many as I can cram into the next 4, 5, 6 hours here. Charts of things that I own, charts of things that I am looking at, and charts of major asset classes. Every day I go through that drill, and you start to see it being chipped away. You start to see it leveling off. If you look at the charts I put in my newsletter over the weekend of the various bond market sectors, munis, corporates, government, and mortgage, you can see just the steady climb higher and higher and higher. No tree goes to the sky. No asset class continues to hit new highs forever. Eventually, a little bit of rational thinking comes into it. Profit taking comes in. People start to figure it out. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of people that have come in through this door that all of a sudden may want out at some point in time. And then you start to see money leaking out, more profit taking happening. You start to see the chart top out, begin to roll over on these ETFs that I've been talking about, like TLT and HYG, which are great proxies for these various asset classes. And then you start to see panic set in. You see a chart like Nintendo today where all of a sudden there's panic. All these people that thought Nintendo was going to go up forever, well, some people got out at the top. As it rolled over, people start to say, I better get out while I still have a profit. And then it starts to really cascade, and people say, I just want out. And then pretty soon, people are getting run over, and it becomes an avalanche headed downhill. So we'll just keep our eye out. I'll keep my eye on the bond market. To me, this tremendous bloating of the bond market poses a great threat to traditional asset allocation. People that are in a traditional asset allocation models in their 70s and have 70% of their assets in the bond market, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but you might want to watch, if you have that large position in the bond market, you might want to watch a chart of TLT every day. I look at one-year charts and five-year charts. That thing starts to level off. If that thing starts to roll over, if demand for U.S. debt and Swiss debt and Japan debt starts to weaken, look out below. All right, well, tomorrow we'll get back to the macro picture. You can get my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.